The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
It's Victor Dandridge, the hardest working man in comics, and you are listening to PVD Cast with John Orlando. Guys, I'm telling y'all it's the best thing on the entire interweb. Listen long, listen strong. John, it's all you, man.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your host and podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 223. I hope you're doing well out there as you're tuning in to this fine episode, and I'd like to get right down to it and talk about who my guest is joining me here on this edition. I am joined by the very talented Molly Durst. Molly is a comic book creator that over the years has put together quite a catalog. She's probably most known for her comics, Symphony of the Universe, Project Z, and Jonah and Hugo. We met over the weekend and chatted about her career in comics, and we cover a lot of topics, not just her comics. We talk about her fandom for Star Wars and Booster Gold, and her love of Rankin Bass Productions, which, you know, folks, if you're an avid listener of this podcast, you know that I love, absolutely love, one particular Rankin Bass Christmas special. Of course, I'm talking about The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus. And we do talk about it real briefly, and then I make a faux pas, and I want to apologize. I make a reference to the cartoon Life and Adventures of Santa Claus, but I mistakenly state that it is something that belongs to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And damn it, I should know better. I know The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus like the back of my hand, and I should have known that the little cat with yellow-green eyes is from that fantastic cartoon and not Rudolph. But I'd also like to apologize real quick for something else. Molly and I met at the local library in Hilliard, and unfortunately the room that we were in had a little bit of an echo. I tried to do the very best I could to eliminate that, so I do apologize if that bothers you out there, and I truly hope that it doesn't take away from your experience of enjoying episode 223 of the PVD Cast. I will say this, it's better than it was. I got it cleaned up pretty well, but you know, nonetheless, I just want to throw it out there that there is a little bit of an echo, and once again, I do apologize for that. But one thing I'm not going to apologize for is letting you know that this episode is brought to you by the fine folks of World's Greatest Comics. That was a pretty nice segue, wasn't it? They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have tons of comics from every era, whether you're talking about the Golden Era, Silver Era, Bronze, or Modern Era. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, back issues, posters, basically all the things you need for your geekdom, they got. So stop on over to the store and say hi to the fine folks over there, or you can check them out online at wgcomics.com, and they're even on Facebook. Just go look for them on Facebook at WG Comics, and no matter how you interact with the store, let them know that you heard about it from me, John Orlando, right here on the PVD Cast. Well, with that being said, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Molly Durst. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon I'm sitting down with Molly Durst. Molly, how are you?
Good, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Here we are at the beautiful Hilliard Library. I haven't been here to this one. My goodness, it's gigantic.
It is. There's two floors here. It's got a really nice collection. We're also in the middle of Fool's Spring, so that's when Ohio gets sunny and nice for a day, and we think it's spring. We put away our coats, and then 24 hours later, we need to get our coats back out.
That's true. That's very true. Although I'm a little bit biased. I would like one more cold blast because I have an ice rink in my backyard that needs to freeze up one more time so I can use it some more. But that's another story for another time.
It'll happen. Don't worry.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. All right. So you are the person behind Geek Out Art, and you have a slew of comics that we're going to talk about. But let's start way, way, way back at the beginning. How did you get started in drawing? How did you get interested in art?
They say that any class can become an art class if you're bored enough or if you don't care enough. So I got started in middle school. I would make comic strips and give them to my friends. And usually it would be about them and about their lives. But it would make them laugh because they were personalized. They were like little gifts that I could give to them. And I just kind of never stopped from there.
Okay. So was your family very supportive of this?
Some sides yes and some things no. I mean my mom would always purchase comic books, and we would always have books around the house. Mm-hmm. And so I always had inspiration, and they read the paper, so I always had the Sunday funnies and all the news strips. But you know, as a career path, it was very discouraged. As a hobby, it was very discouraged. I was supposed to pursue more disciplined or financially viable options instead.
Okay. I gotcha. So you mentioned that you had plenty of comic books around. Who were some of your favorites?
I really liked to read comic books with my brother, and my brother was obsessed with Todd McFarlane. And Todd McFarlane from Spider-Man, and then later into Spawn. He kind of followed it over to the beginning of Image Comics.
Okay.
I personally would pick up just about anything that I liked the artwork on, so my taste in comics was varied and strange, and I really liked a lot of indie issues that came out at the time. I read a lot of slave labor graphics, a lot of Vertigo, DC Vertigo comics, things like that.
You are a fan, though, of Booster Gold. I found that in my research, which, Molly, I have to explain, that's kind of an odd superhero to be a fan of.
Well, it's kind of funny, because there's like this, there's this push-pull with Booster Gold, and like the whole thing, the character is hilarious. Like, being a member of his fan club is like his whole shtick, like, and it's just... and I've been very fortunate to meet a lot of people when I've been out at the comic book cons, and Booster Gold is this very popular character. I have a friend who dressed up just like Booster Gold, and so the moment I saw him in the costume, I was like, Booster Gold, I'm your biggest fan! And I gave him a Booster Gold sketch card, which I think he really appreciated.
Yeah, there's one guy that's all about putting himself before, you know, anything else that he does. It's certainly Booster Gold. That's a bold pick, if I may say so. But you also mentioned, too, I know off-air we chatted a little bit, and you mentioned you're a big fan of Vertigo, of comics. What ones in Vertigo did you like the most?
Well, I was a fan of Aliens, movie, and the DC Vertigo did some tie-ins with Aliens versus Predator comics, and they even did things like Aliens versus Predator versus Batman, which was really exciting. So I would, you know, being already a fan of the movies, and it wasn't like, it was a different era. Like, now if you're a fan of the movie, you can get online and you can find, hundreds, thousands of fans of the movie. But we just had our tie-ins. Like, this is back in the 80s. So these comic books, when they came out, that was a way to explore these worlds further. And, I just loved that. I loved having more Terminator stories and more Predator stories and more Batman stories.
That's cool. And I know, as I started with that question, we talked a little bit off air that you're a big fan of Transmetropolitan, which I am too. I love Transmetropolitan. I mean, it's a fantastic book. It's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's kind of hard not to like Spider Jerusalem, and it's kind of hard not to like the not only the action and excitement of that comic, but also the humor. It's hilarious. And
in going back and rereading it, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I didn't really pick up just how on the nose Warren Ellis was with technology. Like, when you think about it, in that book, there's a lot of like FaceTime and the news feeds, that's all what we now live off of, you know what I mean? And just, I always found that really, really fascinating.
It is. It's exciting when you see something like that because they're making guesses about what the future is going to be. And when those guesses come to fruition, when they become real, it's amazing. And you can go, oh my God, look at that insight.
Exactly, exactly. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about some of your comics. You are the creator of Symphony of the Universe. And it's about a college daughter, or a college professor's daughter, excuse me, who finds some kind of odd things going on at a mental hospital, correct?
Yeah, it's a... Wow, that's old. That's back from like my MySpace days. But yeah, I created MySpace days.
That's now an era.
That's now like the late 90s. But yeah, I started, that's like the first attempt that I did to put my work outside of like my middle friend's school circle, my private circle of friends. So my first attempt was black and white. And like I started this series, Symphony of the Universe, and that story was that the professor's daughter actually like sold her soul to a devil to pursue a romantic relationship with an angel, and she met the angel at a mental hospital of all the places in the world to meet one. The black and white book was published through Lulu, and then I felt like Lulu was too expensive, so I needed to look at a different option. I also wanted to go to color. I was tired of the limitations of working in black and white. So I switched printers and I continued the Symphony story. But I picked up a new story arc called Crow City, Symphony of the Universe, Crow City. So that one was heavily influenced by the kind of animations that I grew up watching that I absolutely loved. I really loved the stop motion animation of Ray Harryhausen. The Prince of Persia and other fantastical kind of stories that use stop motion animation, the Rankin Bass cartoons that I watched as a kid, like Flight of Dragons and The Hobbit, and those translations also influenced Symphony of the Universe, Crow City, which immediately followed that the story that you're talking about, those black and white things, which is back in the very beginning.
Well, for Crow City, there's 6 total books, correct?
That's right.
Are they all one continuous story arc, or are they multiple different stories?
It's one story that takes place across 6 issues. And so it kind of resolves the story that started with the black and white books. But you don't have to read the black and white books at all to understand what's going on in Crow City, because they're very different from each other.
Do you want to give the listeners a little summary of the Crow City plot, if you can?
Sure. So in Crow City, the character who sold her soul, her name is Adele, and she is still pursuing this angel. And she's found herself in this sort of fantastical world that was inspired by those old cartoons. And she's actually traveling with a group of people on the back of a giant mechanical crow, hence Crow City. There's an entire city there on this steampunk kind of creation that flies through the red skies.
Cool.
And so they are trying to defend their home. The demons are still out there, and they are sending monsters to try and destroy Crow City. And so there's a battle. And the real conflict of the story is about the fight between protecting this magical place and like giving in to, or giving in and giving up to the demons that are out there.
From what I saw too in my research, Symphony of the Universe, especially Crow City, I believe, is in several libraries, including the Columbus Metro Library, right?
Yes, I've been fortunate enough to make friends with a librarian who used to work at the Pickerington branch named Ken Daniels. And so he ordered some copies, which was very kind of him.
Awesome. So that's got to kind of feel like good, right?
It does. It feels great. Yeah. And he's also, I've also been involved in the Pickerington Big Comic Show for a couple of years because of that relationship with Ken Daniels.
That's cool. I'm going to deviate from my list of questions real quick because you mentioned Rankin Bass. And Rankin Bass, of course, probably most known for so many of the great holiday specials that we see.
Oh, yes.
But if I may, I'm going to ask if you've ever caught my favorite Rankin Bass production and also my favorite Christmas cartoon. Have you ever watched The Life Adventures of Santa Claus?
I was hoping that you would pull out one and I'd be like, yes, I've seen, but I don't think I know this one.
You don't?
I mean, I remember all the fun ones, like the, you know, Heatmeister, Coldmeister.
Yeah, no. This one's probably people at home, our listeners at home are going, God, John, you talk about this all the time, especially in December, but it's fantastic. It's like the one that nobody knows about. The storyline is very, very simple. Santa Claus is going to die.
Oh,
it's his last night around, and then the immortals who raised him have to get together and decide whether he gets the cloak of immortality or not.
Wow, that's
exciting.
Oh,
it's fantastic. If you find it,
okay,
you got to watch it. It's great. And it's your typical Rankin Bass production with the stop motion, but it's really good. I like it.
Okay,
so,
I'll have to hunt that down. That sounds absolutely worth seeing.
Oh, it is.
And then re-seeing.
I remember watching it as a kid, and
yeah.
I think that I remember watching it, I want to say, on CBS, and I remember 2 years in a row they showed it, and then it
mm-hmm.
disappeared. And then fast forward like 20 years
mm-hmm.
later, ABC Family, when they would do their whole, you know, month of Christmas movies and
they started pulling it out?
They pulled it out. I'm like, what?
Oh.
And then it lasted a couple of years, and then it's gone. I think it's so weird and out there that people are like, what the hell is this?
Sure.
You know,
right.
And so, but it is on DVD.
Okay.
It's a 2-pack. If you buy it, you also have to get Nestor the Christmas Donkey.
So, you know, you can watch half of it. Or...
Yeah, I've watched Nestor, and Nestor is a super depressing.
Oh.
Yeah, super depressing. It's not a happy tale. I watched it once, and I will never watch it again. But anywho, I digress. But do you have a favorite Rankin Bass Christmas cartoon?
Oh, of the Christmas cartoons, there would be Rudolph.
Of
course.
Yeah, sure.
Because, just because it's a classic, and
yeah.
also I really like the Island of Misfit Toys. Like, and I would totally adopt all of the Misfit Toys
Same.
In a heartbeat.
Same.
You know, I've got no problem with the squirt gun that squirts jelly.
No.
I would make my own peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It'd be awesome.
That would be sweet. I agree.
And
you got to be a real jerk if you don't like Charlie in the Box.
Right. Exactly. I mean, whatever.
All right, let's get back on track and talk a little bit more about some of your projects. Let's talk about Jonah and Hugo.
Okay.
Can you give a short little summary to the listeners about this project?
Yeah, Jonah and Hugo is fine. It's Jonah is the main character, and Jonah was named after her grandfather. So even though her name is male, she's female. And Hugo is her cat and her best friend. She has a little black cat that's her like closest friend in the world. And they go on kind of this fantastic adventure together, riding on a whale through time and space. So it's a rather long way to go to make a Jonah and the whale joke, but I did anyway. It was worth it.
How's the feedback been with Jonah and Hugo? Have a lot of people enjoyed it?
It's been very positive. It's been consistently my bestseller. I think the thing that appeals about Jonah and Hugo is it's a single issue story, so you only need to pick up, you know, one
mm-hmm.
issue, and you've got a complete story. It's also all ages appropriate, and so, you know, whether you're just a kid or whether you're an elderly person with no kids, you can still get something fun out of this. And I think that a lot of people, like, it's surprising we find out how many people either like or dislike cats just based on the fact that there's a cat in the story. Like, and Hugo is a black cat. And Hugo is a black cat with big green eyes. And so people have a sort of instant reaction to him, whether they love him because he's this cute little, like, almost Japanese-looking chibi cat with, you know, big eyes and this adorable expression, or they instantly don't like him because he's a cat and he's an all-black cat, and they have some sort of prejudice, societal prejudice against black cats.
Oh, because of the whole
black
cats
are unlucky. Because of the superstitious
bad
luck. But I actually never thought about that when I was designing the character. Mostly I was designing the character as actually a tribute to my grandfather, because when I started on Jonah and Hugo, my grandfather had recently passed away, and I wanted a pleasant sort of memory. And my grandfather had a cat that was named Scamp. And Scamp was a big black cat with bright green eyes. So that's Hugo.
There you go. And also, the cat in Rudolph is
a black cat
with green eyes.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Bring it full circle. Bring it full circle.
Exactly. Good job there.
Thanks. Let's talk a little bit about Project Z. This book is about an interracial couple who is kind of sucked into a video game.
Yes, they are literally drawn into a video game. And that was fun. So I was, you know, I'm experimenting with the fact that I have color. So
okay.
Like Jonah and Hugo and Project Z, they're both like what I tend to call exciter color. Like there's lots of fun, like really saturated colors in these stories. So Z herself is bright blue. Like, it's an interracial couple. He's black and she's blue. All right, let's go.
Okay.
They go on a date in a barcade that's in outer space. And the barcade is kind of retro. I was kind of inspired by this trend that we have now where adults can go and play those vintage video games
mm-hmm.
and sip a beer and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
it's felt like the kind of place that somebody could, you know, go out on a date. But then because it's a story, because it's fictitious, I wanted to also have, like, you know, aliens there and make it kind of like a Star Wars cantina, make it kind of fun and exciting.
So is there any type of maybe underlying themes you were trying to get across with Project Z?
Not to get you sucked into the... I didn't want it to be preachy at all.
Right,
but,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, there is the threat of getting sucked into your vintage video games and you need to come back out. Like,
sure,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So there is that underlying theme there.
Okay. If you could get sucked into a video game, which one would it be?
Very likely it would be something in the Final Fantasy series. Most
okay.
likely what was released as Final Fantasy II in the United States, but released as Final Fantasy IV in Japan. Which my dad never stopped making fun of, because if it's Final Fantasy, there should be only one of them, because it's the final.
Final, yeah. Right.
But I think
okay.
they're on
Good
like
point.
13,
Good point.
14 now, maybe? Like, so.
Okay, that's better than probably my answer, because I was going to go with Dig Dug.
Oh, Dig Dug is great, though.
I love
Dig
Dug.
Dig Dug is fun.
It's my game. It's the one that I play whenever
yeah.
I'm at a vintage arcade.
Oh, Joust. Joust could suck me in forever,
Ooh.
Too. Where you ride the ostrich?
Yeah. That will probably be mine, is I think Dig Dug.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. I don't know what that says about me, but anyways. So the next group of projects I would like to talk about, I kind of grouped them because in my research, you kind of categorize them all as sketchbooks. And of course, we're talking about Geeks Next Door,
mm-hmm.
Zodiac Reimagined, and I believe it's the newest one, right?
Yes.
614 Sketch?
Yes,
or,
that's right.
Okay. Why did you create sketchbooks? Like, were they just kind of leftover sketches that you thought I'll put in a collection, or was it premeditated, like, I'm going to go ahead and map these out into a story?
Mm-hmm.
What was the planning behind these various different sketchbooks, if I may ask?
Okay. Well, there's a slightly different plan behind each one, so
okay.
it's okay. I'll
yeah, yeah, sure.
I mean,
they
are interrelated, though. So Geeks Next Door came first, and Geeks Next Door was a cartoonist reaction to the fact that I was constantly surrounded by pinup art. Like, I enjoy doing conventions, and I would constantly see the artist across the way from me or next to me, and they would have women in positions that, like, human bodies cannot do, like, the butts
sure.
and the butt
yeah.
and
yeah.
the boobs in the same shot, and, like, you know, they don't have a spine or, like, a rib cage, but it's fine. And I was like, well, you know, why don't I do my own pinups? But I'm going to do pinups different. I'm going to do pinups my way. So I started making art prints, these 11 by 17 art prints. And they were usually captioned. And the idea was that these were going to be the kind of girls, like, that felt like real girls. They felt like the kind you'd want to marry. Like,
okay.
not the kind that you just want to bone. Like, that was my idea. It was, like, going to be the Doris Day, except of the nerd world. And it was also kind of subversive, because I'm trying to normalize, like, being a geek and like, making a geek a plus instead of a minus, because there's this, like, really outdated joke that being interested in geek culture or nerd culture will make you unattractive to the opposite sex. It's constantly out there. It's constantly thrown out there. But I've known so many real-life women in the real world
mm-hmm.
who, like, you know, could absolutely, like, you know, jump in as player two on your video game console and would be happy to do so. Or, you know, could have, like, obsessions, like, totally geeky obsessions that could rival or even outdo, like, some of these male obsessions. Like,
sure. yeah.
And I feel like they're completely they're invisible, they're underrepresented. So I took that mentality and I turned it into these little prints. So you'd have this, like, you know, kind of hot but realistic looking girl that wasn't quite, you know, she wasn't too vulgar, but she was obviously like a little hee-hee, I like you.
And I was going to mention, you kind of kept it in a different, I don't know if genre is the way to go, but the word I'm looking for is that they're more family-oriented, maybe?
They
is
are.
That a
yeah.
Way?
No,
that's
a good,
because,
that's a good way to describe
yeah.
it, because I wanted the kind of art print that like, a dad could buy without being embarrassed.
Sure.
Like, and without getting in trouble with the missus. And it turns out that I've even had the missus buy this art print for
okay.
for her husband. Like,
okay.
oh, this is so us. And I thought that was great. So, you know, and I also want something that's not going to embarrass you if it's up on your wall. Like, and that's what people do with these 11 by 17 prints. They put them on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up being very popular. And people started asking for a compilation. So people asked me for it. So I was selling them originally only as prints. But people said, oh, you should, you know, could you put these in a book? Could you put these together in a book? This would make a great book. So I finally was like, yeah, okay, I'll put them in a book. And that's where Geeks Next Door came out from that. And then, so then there's two more that I got to talk about.
I talked
a lot about that. So, but the next one was the Zodiac series. And I was interested in doing something different. Because as much as I truly love these characters and I know that they're popular and I know that fan art will sell, I also want to make sure that I can offer a range of original artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And I was afraid that with the Zodiacs, if I offered them as individual prints, that what would happen is people would buy their own personal Zodiac sign only. So, like, I'm a Pisces, I'll get the Pisces. And,
right, yeah.
And then I end up with, like, you know, 50 Taurus and only 3 Aquarius
left in
my inventory. And I was like, I don't want that to happen. So I'll just put it together as a collection. And it's straightforward enough that I don't even have to sell that book too hard because everybody understands the concept. I don't have to explain to them it's about a girl, it's about a cat, it's about this like magical city. I can just be like, oh, it's a Zodiac book. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Where's my sign? There it is. Oh yeah, that's so neat. I'll take it. Like,
yeah. That's smart marketing.
Oh,
on that
thank
one.
You. Thank you. And then so we've done these sketch card collections and, the last one, the 614 sketch, is actually an anthology. There are two other creators involved.
Okay.
Mike Carroll and Travis Perkins are the other artists who were involved in that book. So at conventions, one of the products that I sell is sketch cards. And we started a monthly meetup, which is mostly just Mike and Travis and me sitting around and drawing our sketch cards. But eventually I thought we should do a group project together. So let's do a collection, and in the collection, it's going to be like an advertisement preview of the other work that we do. So like there are 3 sections of the book where each creator has their own like kind of showcase of this is who I am, this is what I'm all about, this is what I do.
Cool. You mentioned something though that I think that, and I've heard it most recently with friend of the podcast, Brian Lyle, talking about, but I think many other creators have talked about, is diversifying yourself. I think that it's an easy trap for creators, and maybe I'm wrong, you can tell me your opinion, but I think it's an easy trap for some creators to go, well, I love like space barbarians. All I'm doing is space barbarians. I think that you pin yourself into, or you pigeonhole yourself into a little spot there that some folks, you know, might go, no, I'm not interested in your book, no matter how awesome it looks or how well written it is or whatnot. What do you think? I mean, obviously, you think diversifying is a very good thing.
I absolutely agree with you there. I absolutely 100% agree with you there. And I think that a lot of the mistakes that I see that creators make is the putting all the eggs in one basket mistake.
Mm-hmm.
They're not thinking about their audience at all. They're not thinking about other people at all. They're thinking about what it is that they want to do, what they want to create, what they want to make for themselves. And sometimes you can get lucky, and the thing that you wanted to create for yourself happens to be very popular.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Molly for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. It's the one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, posters, back issues, basically anything you need, they got. And if you want to make sure you don't miss a single issue of your favorite comic, sign up for their pool system and you'll even get 20% off all pre-ordered comics. So you could check them out online at wgcomics.com. You can find them on Facebook, just look for WG Comics. But better yet, you should stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and let them know that you heard about the store from yours truly right here on the PVD Cast.
All right, so you could have the most amazing space barbarian book. It could have the most beautiful artwork. It could have the best written story. And you try and tell somebody, they say, oh, what's your work all about? You say, it's about space barbarians. I don't like space barbarians.
Yeah, I think that's the smartest thing that I've heard creators talk about is diversifying your portfolio or your work or whatnot, so that you have a little bit of something for everybody. And you know, I've seen it myself, you know. Somebody buys a science fiction book, but then you also have a nonfiction book.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they might go, oh, what the hell? I'll just take all of them. You know, you never know. And not that making money is the aim of the game, you know, in indie comics, but it's nice to sell some books, right?
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, I like to experiment. I enjoy experimenting
mm-hmm.
and trying out new things and finding out what sells and what doesn't sell. But, I mean, selling and not selling isn't ultimately my goal. There's other reasons to experiment. Because you learn more when you open yourself up to a different genre, one that you haven't
mm-hmm.
written in, or a different type of story, or a different type of art technique. You
mm-hmm.
just you build your mind that way.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit, because you're kind of a little bit of a teacher, if you will, because Geek Out Art has a blog
yes.
where you kind of give some tips, some tricks, if you will, some tutorials on doing art. So what made you decide to create this blog? Did you notice that maybe there was a lack of that type of material out there for upcoming artists?
Well, there's a surplus of information out there for anybody who wants to be an upcoming artist. There's a glut of information rather than a dry spell. But I think that it can be a little bit different, because everybody's a little bit unique in their own way. And I also have this tie-in with workshops. So I want to use the art that I'm making for a workshop that I want to do on Fantastic Beasts and how to draw them. I've been fortunate that some of the events that I've done before, they've had a paneling track and they needed workshops as part of their comic book event. And so they've been asked multiple times to conduct workshops for children or teens, and I just enjoy doing it. So I'm trying to take that and turn it into a blog, probably eventually turn it into a book once I have a collection of tutorials and workshops that I can publish and have one more item to sell.
Well, let's talk a little bit about another one of your fandoms. You're a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah, I am. I've recently made some new sketch cards since we've just had the conclusion of Star Wars 9, and I wanted to make sure that I had those ready for the Jeff Harper show that's coming up on March 1st.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on the new movies?
I think that they were unfairly ridiculed by rather toxic fan base.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely not saying that all fans are toxic, and I want to make that very clear. There are a lot of fantastic Star Wars fans out there. I've had the pleasure of getting to know some of them quite well. But there's also this undercurrent in the Star Wars community that is so negative that they've harassed the child actor who played young Anakin Skywalker to the point where, like, he had a mental breakdown. Like, they took the actor who played Rose Tico and they ran her off Twitter with, like, racist and sexist comments. That's that kind of negativity that, like, I think that a lot of that negativity got pushed towards the latest installment of Star
mm-hmm.
Wars, and it wasn't quite fair. I thought that the movie was absolutely beautiful. I thought that, like,
The Rise of Skywalker,
The Rise of Skywalker,
okay.
the last one, I thought that it was a gorgeous movie. I think that they suffered because of the death of Carrie Fisher, the unexpected death of Carrie Fisher, because it's very obvious that they had to rewrite scenes at the last second to actually have a movie. And
mm-hmm.
one of the lead actors and much of the plans that they must have had originally for making Rise of Skywalker had to be completely shifted around at the last
mm-hmm.
second. And so if you're comparing this movie to the classics that you grew up in, you're not really in the right perspective place. You need to compare this movie to other movies where the main character unexpectedly died. I'm talking about Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, where Heath Ledger was passed
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm.
And then they suddenly shifted around and had his character portrayed by other actors, including Johnny Depp and so on and so on. Or I'm going to bring up Ed Wood and Bela Lugosi died.
Yeah.
And but they didn't stop filming. They kept going. So, like, you know, you look at, like, movies like that, and you know, then you can start to understand what they must have been going through
mm-hmm.
story wise. And so I think what they came up with was great for that last minute rewrite, really.
Well, yeah, I think as a whole, these last three movies have been okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're ever going to live up to the expectations that we have of the original ones.
They won't.
But they were far better than you know, let's be honest, maybe those middle three were really, really kind of bad.
The prequels.
The prequels were pretty bad. So, I mean, yeah, I agree with you on your major point that, you know, unfortunately, one of the negatives of our society is that now with social media, everybody has a voice. And to be blunt, maybe not everybody should have a voice. But nonetheless, yeah, I feel it was really unfairly judged as well. Again, there were problems with them. I mean, let's be honest, there were. But overall, fun and enjoyable.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, the other thing is I have a 9-year-old son. And so
sure.
I went and I saw these movies for him. And he's not comparing them as an adult with 30 years of experience
right,
and
right.
30 years of memories.
Right.
He's watching them for the first time and they're brand new to him. And
right.
for him, they're exciting. For him, they're thrilling. I met a little kid at a comic book convention who was dressed up as Poe Dameron, and he told me that Poe Dameron was his hero because he actually got to see an Hispanic character on the screen represented as a good guy, and he doesn't get to see that every day.
Yeah.
And when I hear stories like that, like, you know, I remember this is not for the 50-year-old fanboy who's like, you know, yelling at Rose Tico like on Twitter. This is
right.
actually for these 9-year-old kids
right, right.
who are going, yay, spaceships and lasers.
Right.
Like,
well, you are actually also a web designer, correct?
Yes, I am.
And you have a lot of your work showcased on your own website, mollymadegraphics.com. So if somebody's interested in you know, checking out your work or getting you to work with them on something, just go to that website. Would that be the best place to
You can find
check
me through Molly Made Graphics. That's more of where I post my graphic and web design work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very active on Facebook. And I also, and through my blog, Geek Out Art. And if you wanted to purchase any of my books, you can do so on Mad Cloud.
Okay.
Okay. So you can find them there.
Is that madcloud.com?
M-A-G.
M-A-G,
like
mag. I'm sorry, mag,
like,
cloud.
Like, the idea is that they're using cloud servers to produce magazines.
Oh,
and it's
okay.
owned by H.P. Packard, the same, the printing company.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. I did not know that. Do you, as we start to kind of wrap some things up here, do you have any advice for anybody that's getting into the world of comics?
Yes. Just do it. Just jump in. Just go for it. I think a lot of people, like, you know, people come up to me and they say, I have an idea. And they tell me their idea for a comic book. Or they tell me their idea for a piece of art. And I say, well, what's stopping you? Why do you tell me your idea? Just execute your idea. Go do it. But they want me to, like, sort of give them permission. Like, there's this self-editing part of us that stops us from making that leap. And I think that you have to just, you know, kind of push that aside and go for it. Do it. Like, don't just think about it.
Okay. I think that's fantastic advice, by the way, just as a side note. So, upcoming appearances, March 1st, you're going to be here in Hilliard at the Marriott Courtyard West for the Big Jeff Harper Show. Is this your first Jeff Harper show?
No, it's not.
It's not? Okay. You've done them before, so you know that they're a great show. I mean,
they are. It really has a focus on comic books and not the extraneous. You won't see special guests who are wrestlers. Sorry for the wrestling fans, but you will be able to dig through your long boxes, and you'll be able to find those back issues for sure.
Sure, sure. You definitely will. Wait a minute, but not just wrestlers. Let's talk about this cast of Battlestar Galactica is not going to be there.
No.
Or Charmed, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Sam
the guy
Jones.
From Rocky, the guy who's trying to sell his own underwear. The guy who played Brad from Rocky was at Mid-Ohio Con trying to sell his own underwear autographed. Nobody was buying it. It was so sad. Just sat there.
I don't even know how to respond to
he
that.
He had his tiny whiteies autographed and framed, and like he was trying to sell them to people, and nobody would even stand in line. It was so sad.
Okay. So another piece of advice for comic artists, don't try to sell
your underwear to people, yeah.
Is there any other places you're going to be here in the next few weeks or months?
Yeah, there's a Ken comic show that's coming up that I'm going to be a special guest at. I'm also working with my librarian friend to get involved in a Wonder Woman Day at the public library, so we'll see if that... I might have more information about that soon.
Okay. Well, let's just run down real quick again. Social medias on Facebook, Geek Out Art.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any Twitter, Instagram, or any of that information for the listeners?
I have an Instagram also. It's mostly I'm active on Facebook.
Okay.
I don't use Twitter.
Okay. All right. So just look you up on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, Molly, it's been fun. I appreciate you taking a little bit of time out of your day to come and sit down and chat with me.
Yeah, likewise.
All right. And if you're in the Columbus area, stop on out March 1st and see you, right?
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
There you go. All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Molly Durst, talking about her career in comics, and I hope you enjoyed it. And there's a couple different ways you can let me know if you did enjoy it or if you didn't enjoy it. So let me run those avenues down for you. Of course, you can shoot me an email, and that email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. You can leave me a message, I suppose, over on the Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/pvdcast. And maybe you want to leave a comment and you also want to leave a picture. Well, there's an Instagram account for the PVDcast. It's simply @pvdcast. So there's all the ways you can get in touch with me. And let me ask you a small, small favor. And that is to tell everybody about the PVDcast and tell them where they can find it. They can find it at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, or basically any major podcast platform. Whether you're talking about iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Deezer, the iHeartRadio app, radio.com app, Google Play Music, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, just basically anywhere you find podcasts, you're going to find the PVDcast. Just search for it, PVDcast. And sometimes you have to put my name, John Orlando, after it for it to pop up in the results. I'm not sure why. It's just those technology woes, I suppose. But anywho, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing gives me some more positive input into that equation and the algorithm. And of course, subscribing allows you to never miss an episode of this great podcast. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. And as always, stay righteous and stay independent.